Episode number 192, interview with the Camaro marketing manager.
Live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of the Camaro C28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
And we got a special guest in the studio this week.
This is going to be a long episode. It's so long I have to split it up. But for right now, we're going to welcome John Fitzpatrick, Camaro Marketing Manager.
Thanks, Jason. Chris, how are you guys?
Doing pretty good.
Thanks for coming back in the studio one more time for us.
John's going to answer a bunch of questions and give us some news and what's going on with the Camaro project.
That's right. And maybe you even answer a few questions.
Like mine. John, where's my car?
We'll get to that. Just real quick, all voicemails and emails that we received over the past week, we're going to postpone until next week's episode. And there's actually going to be a part two. Released Wednesday of this week, where we interview Pete Bassica from Petter Suspension. So this is just one big, giant, cool episode that's just loaded with all sorts of cool information and data. So anyway, John, how's things going?
You know, it's rocking and rolling.
It is?
We've had a very eventful week. You know, we went from all kinds of highs and lows this week. Went from the... had a lot of fun this past week.
Is that how you define it?
Exactly. You know, we had the little safety campaign, as we refer to it, or the issue with the battery cable, and that caught us a little bit by surprise. You know, we weren't necessarily expecting anything like that to develop, but I think to the credit of everybody at General Motors, we really jumped on it and addressed it as quickly as we found out about it. Really, you know, it's not as if you know, it was in the back of somebody's mind that this was developing. You know, it was really like almost everybody else found out about it. You saw the picture of the car getting put onto the flatbed, and then we heard about a couple other issues very similar, and basically, you know, started making people look at what was happening. And then once they figured out what was happening, then they said, okay, how do you correct it? And after you said, okay, how do you correct it, do we have the materials available to correct it? And then, okay, if we have the materials to correct it, then how do we go about doing that? That all happened within about a five-day period. And, you know, it may not seem like a big deal, but you got to get out there and contact about 300 people who had the cars already in their possession. And make sure that you got them back into the dealership, got the situation handled. And you know, I think for the most part, you know, nobody ever wants to see this. Nobody ever wants to go through it. But I think we did a good job in getting it out there and getting it handled for the most part.
5 days. I don't think anything moves that fast inside of any of the major automotive manufacturers.
That doesn't move that fast in any manufacturer.
Right. So there was, you know, as soon as you found out about this, it wasn't, okay, we'll get to that in a couple of days. It was, you know,
we need to take care of this.
Now. Right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, what really raised the flag was, well, one, a fact that somebody drove 40 miles and their car quit. You know, they're not engineered that way. You know, our team works very hard and has been working very hard to make sure these cars are the highest quality. And it's really, you know, nobody likes it, but it's almost a body blow, and you got to respond to that. And you want to make sure that you figure out what's going on. And then when we started seeing the other ones, it really woke us up saying, okay, we need to jump on this. And you know, and I don't mean to, you know, toot the horn or anything, but we did. You know, we made sure that we didn't let this linger, and we really worked hard to make sure we got the problem corrected.
So the battery cable issue affected 300 cars, and it was a 30-minute fix, give or take. That's what the estimation was, and a single cable. That's it.
Yeah, well, it's more than 300 cars it affects.
Okay.
It affects every Camaro SS we had built through last week.
Okay.
But the issue had been, up to that point, only 300 customers
gotcha.
Had had the car in their possession. We had a number of cars in transit to dealerships, which we talked to the dealers, made sure if, when the car arrived, they took care of the issue. And, of course, we have a number of cars sitting in various locations,
yes.
Chris,
yes.
In Oshawa and Pontiac, that you know, we want to make sure we take care of as well, you know. And, you know, that's one of the things we want to do is make sure people understand that we know there's a lot of anticipation for this car. There's been a lot of anticipation since about 2006.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we know that there are people very excited and very frustrated with us right now because there's some misinformation out there. There is some misunderstanding. And the bottom line point is that we don't have cars out into customers' hands. And everybody on the Camaro team, everybody in Chevrolet, everybody in General Motors wants these cars in customers' hands. We don't want to be holding cars. With that said, we also want to make sure these cars are as good of a car that we have ever produced. We don't want any issues with quality. You know, people are spending very hard-earned money, and they expect a level of quality and reliability. There are too many choices out there, and we're just not going to sacrifice quality on a car. We're going to make sure that car, as much as we can deliver to a customer, is as good and as solid and will never have a problem. Can I guarantee you'll never have a problem? No, but I can tell you that we're going to do everything we can to make sure those problems are minimized and addressed as quickly as possible. So with that said, we do have a number of cars still in Oshawa, here in the Detroit area, that we're going through the quality assessment and making sure that they are corrected. Now, when this battery cable problem came up, it kind of was a double whammy to us because, you know, we were trying to get through these cars and get them out to the dealerships so they could deliver them to the customers. And what happened was when the battery cable started to come alight, we stopped. We stopped working on the SSs because we knew at that point we're going to have to figure out what was the cause and what was the problem. And in the meantime, we did get some of the LTs of V6 models out there and working their way through. You know, and we had some pressure there as well because we wanted to make sure those cars also got to dealers because there was a lot of anticipation in the dealer body about those.
Okay. Can you describe for people listening what the process is when someone orders a car and it's produced? What the whole process is and how it gets to the dealership?
Well, the first thing is that you know, when the car is produced, it goes through a natural what we call batch and hold, where the car is produced, it's checked over, it's put into it's almost quarantine area, and then as the vehicle is okay to release, then they put it into a shipping yard. Put it on usually a rail, in some cases a truck, but for the most part, onto a railroad and shipped directly to a vehicle distribution center. So everybody who's been, you know, trying to track those rail cars, so what happens is those rail cars get dispersed. They end up at a specific distribution point. From there, they're transferred to a truck and delivered to a dealer. On average, that takes about 14 days. Now, obviously, okay. if you're in Butte, Montana, it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, 14 days is the average transportation. But what's been happening with the initial couple thousand cars was that as we were producing them, we were having concerns about whether these cars were as meeting our high level standards that we want to put out for a car. So what we started to do was extend the quarantine, basically, and go through a rigorous, basically, review of the car to make sure it's meeting all our quality standards that we have. And to do that, that takes time, you know, and it's, you know, and it's a somewhat of a slow process because, you know, you're checking out everything from the engine, transmission to fit finish, how does it sound? There's so much that goes into that, and that's part of the reason it takes so long. And you know, and again, we are not taking this very lightly. We want to get these cars out to our customers because, you know, there's a lot of anticipation and there's a lot of people excited, and we want to make sure we deliver on that excitement.
Well, I mean, you're doing all that you can at this point. You know, you're obviously, like you said, you're not taking it very lightly at all. I'm going to assume that all SS production going forward is going to have this, of course, addressed and not addressed after the fact. I guess what else can you do besides hope for the best? And I don't, nobody can foresee these things. But, you know, I mean, it's still full speed ahead at this point.
It is. We are still producing cars. Even while we were having these issues, we made adjustments into the build so that we could, you know, build the LTs that, you know, and making sure that, you know, these cars that we are building, you know, right now, where if the car was built today, Jason, then the car would, you know, just go through its normal process and then release. So what's happening in a lot of cases, and it's frustrating because it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but you could actually see a car that's been produced in the last week before you would see a car that was produced in the last month. Because, you know, the adjustments are being made. It's a constant improvement, a constant quality improvement that they're going through at the plant. And so, you know, it's not to say that the cars they built yesterday are better than the cars they were built a month ago. It's not that. It's just that their processes are improving every day. Mm-hmm. And therefore, with any time you improve a process, you get, obviously, benefits on the other end of that. And that's what you're seeing now with the cars being produced this week. You know, we're going through more natural batch hold and ship.
I think people are learning more about the automotive industry by waiting and following this car than they ever thought they would have to.
I know I have.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I know I have as well.
Well, you know, best of luck to all of us and, of course, the Camaro team and the production division, and hopefully everybody will get their cars soon. Yeah. Thanks for filling us all in on that. Does that kind of complete the urgent nature of what you wanted to talk about?
Well, it does, and we want to, again, apologize for all the difficulties. We understand the frustration that's building, and, you know, believe me, there's people working 24/7 all around the world right now trying to make sure every issue is known, every issue is addressed, and these cars are perfect because, believe me, once you get the car, you are going to be blown away by it.
I can't wait.
you got
to
be
like
dying.
I said, my car is going to be black with cyber gray stripes. I have yet to see even a picture out on the internet of a black car with cyber gray stripes.
Like the real, you know, other than Photoshop type thing.
Yeah. So I'm dying to get my car.
I think we all are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you know, we understand that there's a lot of pent up demand there, and we want to make sure that you know, that these cars are as good as we can deliver.
What was the true outcome of the whole cracked fascia thing?
It's an unfortunate picture that's out there. It's a picture of a fascia that was actually pre-production. It was not a production fascia, and basically the issue was, or the claim was, that the car was going at a very excessive speed, and with all the downforce on the car and all the force on that front end, it basically put some stress cracks in the plastic fascia. So I know somebody said, well, it's a great way for GM to tell whether you were driving excessively, but you know, nobody wants to see that, and we want to make sure, you know, and we know we got the problem corrected. There was a lot of work to make sure, you know, it was identified early. It's just unfortunate that, you know, the car that had the picture taken was not a production fascia.
So nobody has to worry about taking delivery of a car that if they decide to go road racing and hit a high speed, that's going to happen to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, you know, well, I don't know how many people will be going 155, but
you never know.
I wouldn't. Would you, Chris?
No. Not here.
not on these Michigan roads.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez.
Well, thanks for clearing that up. I don't know, you know.
There's always conspiracy theorists out there.
Oh, yeah. You know,
if it's not OnStar, it's something else.
Yeah, they know what I ordered at the Wendy's drive-thru the other day. Yeah, they were listening.
They're listening in.
Yeah. Oh, he ordered a double stack. Well, what we did is we asked a few people on our board here in the 2010 Camaro news sightings, pictures, and multimedia forum. You know, we said, hey, John's going to be in studio. If you got any quick questions for him, fire away, and he'll answer what he can answer. So I got this list right here, and well, I'm just going to fire them at you right after we got to do this. So, you know, this portion of the episode is brought to you by
Magnaflow at magnaflow.com. Looking for all your exhaust needs, head over to Magnaflow, magnaflow.com.
Okay, good enough. We're going to get into this now. So, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Here's the questions from the Camaro Z28.com members, starting with JG95Z28. And he says, what is his recommendation for buyers who want to buy a new Camaro but refuse to give in to excessive dealer markups?
I think we've covered this for quite a few weeks
now.
John,
would you like me to field that? Don't give in. What do you think, John?
You know, the reason those markups are there is because the dealers think that there's, you know, an excessive demand for the car. And as your boards have probably pointed out very, very well, there are dealers who will not do that practice, and there's other dealers who will do that practice. You know, the issue we have is that these dealerships are independent businesses, and the manufacturer's price is MSRP, which stands for Manufacturer's Suggested Retail Price. And there's really limits on what we can do to impact the final transaction price. But that's the great part about this market, is that it's all up to negotiations. And all I can tell you is, you know, talk to the dealer and try to, you know, pay what you feel is comfortable. Now, you got to have another part of that party, and that's the dealer, and he has to sell it for what he's comfortable with.
That's right.
Well, Chris and I still stand by the fact that everybody needs to refuse Camaro markups and find a dealer that'll treat you right with a fair price. Camaro Nut wants to know, have they considered doing a modern remake of the original Camaro Volcano commercial?
Interesting question. To my knowledge, no. At least nobody's told me that we're thinking about doing anything like that.
Well, there you go. You know, give it a shot.
You know, and I'm sure somebody is going to take the challenge and produce one. I have no doubt about it. But the you know, that's really not what we want to do with the car, and we don't want to repeat all our history. We want to really set itself up as a car that can stand, you know, that acknowledges its heritage, is very proud of its heritage, but is also very contemporary and very forward looking. So,
okay. 81Z28355 says, I would like to know if GM plans on having a supercharger package available that would still retain your 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
I think that's a great question. I think it's something that could be considered at some point in time. Maybe, you know, something that you look at down the road if you're looking for ways to enhance the Camaro life cycle. So I think we'll take it under consideration.
Okay, good. Cosmic Trucker writes, I would first like to thank John for his personal attention he has offered many of us who read this board. Then I would nail him with this question.
Is that why the bright lights are in my eyes here?
Yeah.
Well, careful, man. I'll start burning you with cigarettes. Why didn't one of the largest Central Virginia Chevy dealers receive their V6 car on time for the May 6th hoedown? Also, that same dealer has yet to receive car one of their sold cars, even though many higher VIN numbers have been delivered to other dealers. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. The issue with the May 6th unveiling, you know, we worked hard to try to get every dealer a car by May 6th. And so that's what we communicated to the dealers. So that's why you hear so much about that May 6th date. We weren't telling dealers to do an event on May 6th. What we were telling them is that we wanted them to have the car by that point. To be honest with you, if we didn't have the issues that we had, we probably would have made the date with no problem. But when the issue started to develop, we did go out to the dealers and give them a letter telling them, you know, we apologize, but we think this is when we're actually going to get the car to you. In a couple instances, basically Carolinas in the South, we ran into some situations where the vehicles were delayed in transit. In one particular case, we literally had them on a rail car, and for numerous reasons, the rail car got hung up, and we missed it by a day or so, which is part of the joy you get when you're dealing with moving product all across the country. You never know what might, you know, a simple problem with a rail line could have major impacts on you, and it's one of those things you deal with.
Great. Berger Hopeful says the Camaro has been included in some recent Chevy ads. Does GM plan to make some commercials where the Camaro is the feature-only vehicle? Thanks.
I would say visit your local cinema soon. I think you'll see some tying with the upcoming Transformer movie, you know, which obviously premieres in June. And I would say look for something soon.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, my turn.
Yep.
Okay, this comes from 2SSRS. Can you ask if the government Motors is going to ship the car on hold this week?
Wow.
Well, I'll check with President Obama. No, in all seriousness, you know, again, this goes back to the whole issue that we're facing with these, you know, these first 1,000 cars. Can I tell you it's going to be shipped this week? No, but what I could say is that we are trying to get all these cars out within the next 1 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
And at the worst, by the end of the month. So,
okay.
Again, believe me, we are having constant conversations about this. And, you know, we want these cars out. We do not want to be holding them. They do not do us any good on a big lot in Oshawa. We want them being driven on the road. And we want them to be kicking some tail, so can't do that parked on a lot.
It'll look good on the lot, though. Yeah.
I've been telling people I've been waiting this long. What's a couple more weeks, you know? Okay, here we go. Another one from 91Z28350. Is there anything we can do to influence or push through the Z28 that is reported to have been engineered and is just waiting for the green light from the board?
Buy lots of cars.
Buy lots of cars.
Buy lots of Camaros, buy lots of Chevys, buy lots of GMC, Buick, Cadillacs. You know, not to say that it's a money issue. There's a lot of different factors that are going into it. Obviously, fuel standards are going to play a role. And that's not, you know, and you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's even on the board at this point. You know, the article, I think it was in Motor Trend, that says, you know, it's there. All they got to do is get the green light. I think it's a little misleading. I think it's not as far along as they made it sound. But, again, we've always said this. The Z28 plays a very important role in Camaro. And I think everybody realizes that. But we want to make sure that when we put it on the car, it's the right car. And not just have it out there for the sake of having it. So we're going to, the question comes up every time I run into a customer, every time I go to a meeting, I get questions from our dealers, from our wholesale rep, from CamaroZ28.com.
Sorry.
And, you know, we realize there is a lot of desire for that car.
You know, you said a key word just a minute ago there when you said the right, you inferred the right package on the right car at the right time. One thing that came to mind that never did before is the GMC Cyclone. That was a really neat truck, all-wheel drive turbocharged V6. However, the turbo and the transmission did not like each other at all. And from what I understand, they were a maintenance and reliability nightmare. And nothing is going to kill the enthusiasm for the Camaro by having a really cool car that sucks when it comes down to it. And so there's case in point. I mean, the Cyclone, yeah, it was really cool and everything, but people that have had one know that they're not fun. And nothing to take the life out of the Camaro like a unfun Camaro. So,
okay. Anyway. Well, and I think that goes back to, you know, what we're talking about, what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to have this. We don't want customers to have problems with this car. All we want customers to do is to enjoy them, look great in them, drive them. You know, we don't want them being returned for reliability issues. We do want them returned for service. We don't want them returned for
all the right reasons.
Exactly.
Yeah, maintenance.
Exactly.
Okay. Got another one here from Camaro Guy 579. What's going on with the battery cable? We already covered that.
A lot.
Yeah. Okay, let's see.
You know, the one thing I would just add on to the battery cable really quick. If you haven't gotten into the dealership yet, please do. If you have a Camaro SS and for whatever reason you have not visited the dealership yet with this issue, we'd ask that you do. We don't want to see any more pictures of cars being put on flatbeds. You know, we don't want to see that. We don't want people to go through that. We want them to get the problem addressed and be done with it.
Are all dealers informed of this already? So if somebody is listening to the show and they say, "Oh, well, you know, that might be me," and is there a chance that they go into the dealer and the dealer is going to go, "Oh, I haven't heard anything about it yet." Uh-oh, sorry.
Is it like a TSB number that
No. There is a bulletin out there. It was sent to every dealer.
Okay.
Everybody in our field organization knows about it. Now, I'm going to say that. And what's going to happen is somebody's going to call a salesperson at a dealership and go, "Hey, can you tell me about the service campaign on the Camaro?" And the guy's going to look at him like he has four different heads. Because, you know, as much as we try to communicate it, a lot of this sometimes happens that you get the most uninformed person at the dealership, and then everybody at that dealership doesn't know what's going on.
I guess it was kind of a loaded way to put the question. In other words, all dealerships have been informed of this issue.
All dealerships been informed of this
good
issue.
To know. Sorry about that, John.
Okay, I got one more here. This one comes from El Camaro on the board. Will the 5th-gen Camaro officially be available in Germany like the 4th-gen was? So GM, help us German Camaro enthusiasts and sell it officially in Germany again. We can't live without V8s anymore, and we are tired of European 4-cylinders, so-called sports cars. This is Kai from Germany.
Hi, Kai. the Camaro, there is plans to bring the Camaro over to Europe. I don't know the specifics about it at this point. I think it's still a little bit under development. We've been a little preoccupied lately with a number of other things.
I can imagine.
All right, I got a couple. This comes from John H., and I kind of glanced this one over, and I like this one a lot. It says, ask them if they're going to promote the SEMA cars in the dealership. Instead of digging up each part number for the components to make a replica of the SEMA car, I think it would be neat if you could walk up to the parts counter, ask for, say, the Camaro Black kit, and they would provide a printout of all the separate components of the car is comprised of, yet you could just order it all under one part number. Not only could this help out someone who just has to have a copy of the SEMA car for themselves, this could also bring in extra revenue for the dealer if the dealer did all the installations.
You know, we do that with some of the accessories right now, and it's probably a very good suggestion, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if we have something like that in development, but it's I think it's something that we could work on.
That's a cool idea. I'd like to see that myself.
Yeah, I doubt they'll be able to get the red halo lights, though.
That could be an issue.
Well, you know, there's a lot of... Yeah, I'm not even make suggestions right now because I know what's legal and what's not. Wingboy97 says, does management have a good idea of when the convertible will begin production, and will pre-orders be taken before the beginning of assembly date?
Yeah, we have a good idea when it's going to be built.
And should I move on to the next question at this point?
The right now we are targeting for the first quarter of 2011. Okay. I don't know if we'll ever take pre-orders again. no, in all seriousness, yeah, we will have probably ordering information out, I would say, in the fourth quarter of next year in 2010.
Okay, there you go. That's a big one. I know a lot of people want to know that.
I had another question for John, and this is just from what I've been seeing posted on the message boards. Some dealerships and also some customers have been talking about allocations to dealerships. Can you describe to our listeners what allocations are for Chevrolet dealerships?
Well, specifically for Camaro, the issue we have with the allocation is a relationship issue. We have somewhere north of 3,700 dealers currently, and we, by law, have to provide dealers product on a fair and equitable basis. We have to. If not, I go to jail. Don't like the idea. So we develop a mathematical equation, basically, that uses, in our case, in Camaros, uses the total retail sales of a dealership and the registration of Mustangs within a particular, within the dealer's particular area. And we do a calculation and then apply that against production. And then that spits out a allocation number. When we started the early ordering activity back in October of last year, we went to the dealers and explained to them, based on what we know right now, this is what we will produce through the third quarter of this year, from start of production through the third quarter of this year. And based on that, based on the numbers that I just told you, we go and basically divide up and give them what we call an estimated production guide based on that figure as we knew it at that point. We asked the dealers, we said, okay, here's the order guides. We gave it out to you guys. You know, everybody, you guys built a very neat configurator.
Yep.
And
thanks, Jake.
And people went out there and submitted orders. So what we asked the dealers to do is, you know, make sure you explain to the customers where they are in line based on the number we're providing to you. Now, out of that, we got about 14,000 orders between us and Canada. And, you know, some dealers did it perfectly. They went in there. They ordered up to their guide and not one more. We had other dealers who, you know, exceeded their guide. We had other dealers who didn't participate at all. So then when you get to the point where you have to now build these cars, and of course we now have, 14,000 customers wanting their vehicles, and they're very, very special customers to us. You know, they're basically the first. And we want to do everything we can to get them their cars, but we're also have about 3,700 customers, and they're our dealers. And we have to give them production based on the allocation process that I told you that I described just a second ago. So we are working through that right now. And I'm happy to say that we have had about, I would say, north of 60% of these orders in some process of our production. That doesn't mean they're all being built next week. What it means is that since we started production until this week, either the vehicle has been put submitted into production, meaning that we are now allocating materials for it, or that it's on the production line, or it's been produced and ideally would have been shipped to the dealerships by now, but in some instances, Chris, it's sent in right now in Oshawa waiting to be attended to.
Soon. Yeah. Very soon.
And I don't, you know, I don't mean to make light of that. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's a very frustrating situation. As much as it's frustrating for the customer, it is frustrating for us.
Well, I'll bet.
And, you know, and we understand that there's a lot of people out there that want to know exactly when their cars are going to get built.
Yeah.
And we can appreciate that. But really, the dealer has the best idea because he's seen his individual dealer number now for what was 3 months, now about to be a fourth month. And, he, you know, his experience will tell you, you know, I think you're going to get it here or here. You know, now a lot of people are asking, well, if I order today, you know, when am I going to get it? And that's a tough question to answer at this point because there's many variables that are involved in that answer. You know, the first one is, well, where'd you order it from? If you order it from a dealer who is already at his guide, then you're going to have to, you know, wait until we get, you know, to the point where we're into the next phase of that. Or if you're at a dealership where they still have guide remaining, he could put it in next week and you see it in 6 weeks. So it's a difficult question to answer, and the one who can best answer it is the dealer, because he's the one who's most familiar with his business. I mean, that, you know, the strange part or one of the things I'm sure everybody's learning about the car business is that for a manufacturer, we have two customers. We have the dealer who's our customer, and we have the actual people who make a monthly payment and receive the keys from that customer, and so there are customers as well. And it's you know, people say, well, why don't you just go and build all the early orders, the R6P cars? Why don't you just go build them all? And I, you know, believe me, we want to. We have this very strong desire to build every one of them, but it's really, it is physically impossible because you can't run a plant at 100% of anything. And right now, not to say that all our sold orders are 100% SSs, there's a very, very strong majority that are. And we also need to make sure we honor all our customers. Again, the customers are not only you guys, but it's also our dealers.
Well, that really clears it all up, even for me.
There's always questions people are posing. What's an allocation? How come my dealer says they're only allowed, they have two allocations, but Joe Blow down the street dealer has 10? And, you know, that really clears it up. Mm-hmm. Really clears it up.
It really does.
Yeah, and you know, and I know it's frustrating because, you know, you like to just walk in and buy the car and drive it, but, you know, we're in a situation where we, thankfully, and I very much appreciate it, we got a car that's, you know, right now the hottest car in the entire industry. Rick Hendricks, matter of fact, he was saying, you know, we had him in Detroit a couple weeks ago to deliver him 1 and 2, mm-hmm, at the Heritage Center. And he says, you know, I have almost every franchise. The only ones that have sold orders, other than your Maybachs and your Rolls Royces and such, really, really high end stuff.
Yeah.
The only people that have sold orders right now are Chevy and Camaro.
Nice.
They're the only ones in the industry. Nobody else has this kind of demand for their vehicles right now.
It's amazing.
It is.
And it's
really
great.
Is.
It's a good thing that, you know, at least in this doom and gloom type of time that we're in, at least there's a bright, shiny spot.
Oh, you know, that's a great thing. You know, I was in New York and Philadelphia Thursday and Friday. Matter of fact, flew back and drove right here. But I had some opportunities to talk to our field reps, to our dealers, and they're telling us, you know, people, you know, always ask me, well, Jesus, could you pick a worse time to bring out the car? But the response I've been getting is, you guys have picked the best time in the world to bring out this car, because, you know, in a lot of showrooms right now, you know, and not only just GM, I mean, I'm talking a lot of showrooms right now. Every industry, every car manufacturer is facing this. They're talking about, how much money that those people lost, or they're talking about, you know, the bankruptcy rumors, or they're talking about job losses. They go, the great thing about Camaro right now is you go into the showroom and all people are talking about is this car. They don't talk about, you know, financial difficulties or bankruptcy or anything else. All they do is talk about this car. And the best part about it is that they can't get enough of it right now. And that puts us in a great position. And believe me, that affects people because think about it in your own job. I mean, if you're going into a job that is dark and gloomy, you know, are you going to be fired up every day? Probably not. But if you're going into a situation where, you know, it's exciting, it's, you know, people are excited, you're going to be that way, and you're going to do a little bit more, and we're happy to see the Camaro can do that.
Great, that's great. Yeah. We're thrilled about it too. I mean, if anything, you know, at least there's a positive thing. Do we have a couple more questions yet?
Do we?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Did you get through all your sheets?
Got through them all.
Okay, then I just have two left on my end.
Okay.
Here. This comes from Jake Robb. He the programmer of our Camaro builder.
Yeah.
How do people inside General Motors who are not directly involved in the project feel about the Camaro? Is the feeling generally positive? Does everyone get it? Based on this, what are your thoughts about Camaro continuing into a sixth gen and beyond?
Well, great question. I would like to get through the fifth gen first. you know, as I just was talking about, just literally seconds ago, everybody is excited about Camaro. Everybody in our organization is excited about it. It's tough times right now. Mm-hmm. There's no getting around it. You know, these are the most difficult times I've seen in my 22-year career in this organization. But the great part is that everybody understands this car is something special. I hate to use the word because I think it's a little cliche, but the car is magical. There is something about this car that is bringing a whole different game to the organization right now, and I think people within the organization can appreciate that. It's interesting. I just this morning read a quote from Fritz Henderson, our new CEO, who said that, you know, the Camaro is a great halo car, and right now it could be a great core vehicle for us. So that tells you exactly the spotlight that's being put on us.
And that's not by General Motors and the Camaro team's choice that it's the halo car. It's the attention that it's received that's put the car in that light.
Exactly.
This isn't something that's been forced or attempted to push.
It just happened that way.
Well,
you know, like the first generation Camaro, it was designed to be a car that was great looking, that was fun to drive, that was affordable. That's what the fifth gen is. It's a car that's designed to be great looking, fun to drive, and affordable.
It's 1969 all over again.
Except for you have airbags and you have Stabilitrax, so you get not only 69, but you get all the best of the 21st century.
Oh, I know.
And that's why it is the 21st century sports car.
And the Grateful Dead isn't touring anymore. Got one more question, one last question.
You know, I don't know if that's true, just I think Jerry Garcia is dead.
Well, he's not looking so good if he's still in front of that microphone. One more question from Primus. He says, I know it'll never be answered, okay, but I would love to hear an explanation on why they aren't building the V6 manual yet. Is it supplier problems or what? Why isn't this on constraint if they aren't building them? Is it a conspiracy? Those are my words, not yours. Is there a conspiracy? Do you not want to sell manual V6 Camaros, John?
Basically. No. And I will answer it. He is right. We do not have a constraint out there for the V6 manual. And the reason we don't is we wanted to put a lot of resources to make sure we get the SSs and the V6 automatics completed. But we also were not satisfied with the performance we were seeing from the whole setup of that car. So we did basically not produce any of the V6 manuals right in the initial production. The good news is that we will start building those cars in about 2 weeks or so, and so we should start seeing them out very, very shortly. Now, you got to remember, when we say constraint, basically constraints, there are things that happen all the time that we don't necessarily produce, but we don't go out there and say it's a constraint. The only time we really put a constraint out there is when we see demand significantly outpacing supply. So, for example, a great example is the constraint we had to put out there this week, sadly, on the body color engine color cover. Demand for that cover is going through the roof right now, and we have a temporary problem where we can't meet that demand, and therefore we put a constraint out there. There is demand for the V6 manual. Is it the highest running product combination we have right now? No. And therefore we didn't think there was an issue to take in the orders for what would ends up being additional time. So we just took the orders in. We have them. We have the materials allocated for them, and we plan to start hitting it hard here in the middle of May and getting those out to everybody.
All right. Well, that does it for the questions that everybody wanted to ask.
And that was awesome.
Wow. How do you remember all this stuff?
That's what he does for a living.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if I did that for a living, I'd still be flipping through files and, I'm no good. I'm no good.
No, Cheryl just beats it over my head every day.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, Cheryl Pulcher just beats it over.
Where's Fitz? There he is. Come over here. Take your daily beating.
Exactly.
So
I'm going to pay for that one.
That's okay. As long as you do and we don't. So, yeah, we'd love to get her in the studio again, too. That was really cool the last time we did. Now that we've answered pretty much all the major questions that are going on out there.
Yeah.
And the show is getting long. We apologize, but hey, there's some good stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else before we wrap up, John, that you want to leave everybody with? Any just last minute thoughts?
I guess my only last thing is thank you. Thank you guys for everything you've done up to this point. You and Chris and Jason, thank you guys. Thank you to all the enthusiasts out there who have been very vigilant in their following of the development of the Camaro, and thanks to all those people who have put very hard-earned money down on this car and are excited to take delivery of the car. Sorry is an overused term at times, but on behalf of everybody working on the Camaro team, please understand that we want to get you your car to you as soon as possible, but we also want to make sure that car is going to be everything you expect it to be and more, in not only terms of the way it performs, the way it looks, but in quality, reliability, and dependability. There's too much riding on that car not to make sure those things are in order. So it's frustrating. It's aggravating. There are people angry about it. And I can tell you is that I understand that. I appreciate that because that means they care, and that means there's a passion behind that. And better to have that passion and that care than not to care at all.
Exactly.
And therefore, please understand we are working very, very hard to get these cars to everybody. And I think once we get them there, people are going to be very, very happy with them.
I've been dying for my car just like everybody else, and yeah. I would rather have it done right than have it right now.
I totally agree.
I mean, I can have it now and then put it right back into the dealership.
Yeah.
And then be calling the dealership and bothering him, and when's it going to be done? Or I could just have it right, and I'd rather have it right. And I hope everybody can kind of see the benefit to that. And just wait, because you'll get your Camaro soon, yeah. And it'll be right. I'm very confident in that. Anything from you, Chris?
No, that's it. No, I want to thank John for stopping by, mm-hmm. letting everyone know what's going on with these cars, and hopefully that clears up a lot of questions.
It does for me. I learned more than I wanted to.
And if I misspoke or anything, the name again is John Fitzchallenger.
Fitzchallenger, yeah.
Did you see where there's an article where they called you John Fitzgerald? I really hope we didn't cause that.
No.
That's my pseudonym, my alias.
John, thank you so
much.
It's
actually my born name is John Fitzgerald. You know, John I just go by Fitzgerald.
Just sneaky, you know, exactly. Alter ego. John, thank you so much for coming in once again.
Yes.
And you're welcome here anytime.
Absolutely.
And thank everybody else for listening. We're going to wrap it up. We got part two coming up, though.
Part two coming up in a couple days.
Releasing that on Wednesday. We got an interview over the phone with Pete from Pete Basica from Petter's Suspension, and he's got a ton of information we're told, too. So we're going to find out, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.